the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Savior, because this is what our salvation is truly all about. It's good to see this number out this morning. We're going to start with a prayer this morning, and I'm going to ask Susie, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this glorious Resurrection Sunday, Lord, as we celebrate the entire meaning of your life, death, burial, and resurrection from this earth. Lord, we just pray that you will open our hearts, our minds, our ears, so that we can hear the message you want us to have today. And Lord, we know that message may differ for each and every one of us. We all need something different at different times, Lord, and we just pray that you will meet the needs here this morning. Lord, we thank you for those that rolled out of bed early this morning to come and be in this special sunrise service. Lord, we just ask you to be with Pastor Tim. Lay your hands upon him, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. Give him the message that is needed here today. We ask this in the precious and lovely name.
Amen. Amen. I am going to start out this morning. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture in Luke, and then we're going to have a congregational hymn. But in Luke chapter 24, most of you know I'm not a traditional preacher, so I don't preach tradition. But I am going to read in Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all those things unto the 11, and to all the rest." Do we have a congregational?
241.
Jesus, my Savior.
You may be seated. So we want to talk a little bit this morning about our Father and our God, who is the same as Christ's Father and God. So that means that as believers, God does not want us to merely see Him. You know, sometimes when we talk about God, we talk about a sovereign God, the creator of the universe. We see Him in nature, all these different things. But there's more to it than that. God, He wants us to experience Him. Not just see, but to experience. And we can only do that when we begin to recognize that it is such a great honor and a privilege to be adopted into His family, to be part of the body of Christ. So that our relationship then with the Lord, it's a loving relationship. None of us would be here if it wasn't for God's love, His grace, and His mercy. So we need to acknowledge our part when it comes to being within the body of Christ, when it comes to understanding our identity in the Lord. So He wants us to be able not just to say we're a beloved child of God, but He wants us to be, He wants our actions to express that every day of our life. And the only way that this happens is when we begin to change through prayer, through obedience to His Word, and we begin to make Him the focus of our life. Everything that we focus upon in our life should start with God and then should go out from there. So I want to go back and read you in the book of Psalm, the 63rd Psalm, starting with verse 1. And this was David, and of course, David spent a lot of time in the wilderness, so to speak. So we spend a lot of time in the wilderness, amen? But the trials, the tribulations, everything that we go through. So here's what David said in the 63rd Psalm, starting with verse 1. He said, God, boy, if we could just proclaim this all the time. He said, God, Thou art my God. And He said, early will I seek Thee, meaning the first thing that I do is seek after the Lord, seek after His guidance. He said, my soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, where there's nothing else. When there is nothing else in our life, there's God. So He said, to see the power and Thy glory, so I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. So David said, I understand that there's nothing in this life that can be better than the love of God. Now, a lot of times we put things ahead of the love of God, but David said, I understand there is nothing greater in this world. So he said, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So David understood now that his desire, that God's desire for us is to have an intense and an intimate relationship with him, so that nothing else is above that in our life. So that means of our own personal needs, our own physical needs, all of these other things, none of that comes first. None of that comes ahead of God. So that means that our priority in our life is that our ultimate satisfaction is God. The things that we do in our life. So he wants us, so here's what he tells us, and here's what David was trying to tell us. We start by looking at our past experiences. Now, you know, a lot of people reminisce and say, I used to do this a long time ago or do that. But when God talks about our past experiences, your life in Christ started when you were saved. That's how far back your past experience goes. So that means that the moment that we were justified, the moment that we first recognized God's power and His strength by accepting His presence into our life, our body became the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And this is the path we want to go back to, that place from time to time in our life, because God wants us to, you know, probably the closest, and it's sad that we say this a lot, but probably the closest that we were ever with God was the moment we were saved. God would rather us go up from there. He would rather our relationship go stronger. He would rather, he said, for this reason, and God knows this, he said, I want you to revisit that time in your life, because it was then that your faith had to be 110%. It was then that you had to be right where I wanted you to be in order for you to accept my saving grace. So he said that, well, when we begin to see this in our life, how many of you this morning when you got up felt a total fulfillment in the Lord? Not very many of us, because of all the things around us that's going on. You know, it's raining, or oh, it's this, or oh, it's that. But God wants us every day to feel a total fulfillment in Him. So that means that every day we have to seek His presence in our life. We have to prioritize. We have to make sure that we are being steadfast in His unfailing love in everything and all that we do. So in the book of John, I want to go over here and read you a couple scriptures in the book of John. And what I want us to do is take a look about how the same characteristics that Christ showed should be the same characteristics that we live by in our life today. So in the book of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 11, here's what it says. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Have you ever felt like that in your life, that somebody took away your Lord and you just don't know where to look for him? You don't know where to search for him? Well, as believers, he's right here. He's always been right here. But sometimes we feel like something has taken a part of that away from us. So he said, And when he had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. So this is the good thing about our relationship with God. It's personal. It's a personal relationship. And so he called her by name, and he said, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Now, I don't know if y'all, over the past three Sundays, we've been working on leading up to this celebration of the resurrection. So does anybody remember three Sundays ago, what did we talk about? Denial. And we all have denial in our life. And this is what started it all leading up to the crucifixion. Somebody denied Christ. And every day, and I'm going to say probably every day in our life, there's probably some kind of denial. Even if it's just when something's going on in our life and we don't trust in the Lord the way that we're supposed to, there's denial. So we have to get rid of that denial in our life. And once we begin to get rid of that, then the next Sunday we talked about what? Christ in the garden said what? Father, thy will. So we have to have a willful service unto God. But before we can ever follow after our willful service unto God, we have to learn what true forgiveness is all about in our life. So once we begin to understand these things and we begin to learn denial or willful service, what true forgiveness is all about, now we can talk a little bit about when Christ said, I ascend unto my Father who is also your Father. I go to my God who is also your God. See, this is sometimes, it's a hard lesson learned, but Christ extended unto us as believers everything that he had, he extended to us. So that means that we have this direct access connection with the Father. And we can, just like Christ did, we can cry out to God, our Father, and we can be secured knowing that there's a special relationship there between us. And you know, we didn't have to go through everything Christ went through to get there. Christ went through all of that for us so that we could have this special relationship with God. And I think sometimes we forget that in our life. We forget all that Christ done so that we might be able to say, God is my Father, God is my God. So one of the things that Christ, that we need to understand is, what are we celebrating today in our life? A lot of people gather together in churches all over the world and they're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they don't know why. You know, Christ, when he arose, done several things for us. One of the things is, we no longer have to allow sin to control our life anymore. Christ took care of that through the resurrection. We no longer need to be burdened down with the things in our life that we're burdened down with, because Christ took care of that through the resurrection. Our sin debt was paid on the cross. We don't have to worry about that. See, Christ took all of these things out of the way so that we might be able to go to our Heavenly Father. So that we might, God communicates with us through the righteousness of His Son. And if it wasn't for that, we would not have a relationship with our God and with our Father. So in the book of Romans, let me read another scripture here real quick. In the book of Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 5. He says, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, and we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this," listen to this, "that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Did you get that? We don't have to serve sin. "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, hath no more death, hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died once unto sin." Now, listen to this, because this will take away any speculation that you can be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost. That cannot happen. Christ died once to sin. When we accept Christ, we died once to sin. We don't have to die again to sin. We died one time, and that's all that it took. "But in that he liveth, then now he liveth unto God." So once we died to sin, we now live to God. God who is our God, God who is our Father. So when we celebrate the resurrection, we're not just celebrating the resurrection of Christ, but we're celebrating the resurrection of every born-again believer. Because now we all have been resurrected, and we all have a spiritual union with Christ. We shared with Him in His death. We share with Him in our new life with Him. So that means we died to the old, this old sinful self, so that we might live in a new empowered life with Him, not just now, but for eternity. So we are empowered now to live for God. We are empowered now to be able to say, God is not just my God, but He's my Father. That personal relationship of having a Heavenly Father. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." So today and every day in our life in Christ should be a celebration of the resurrection. It's not just Easter, but it's every day. Because we have been resurrected with Christ. We died with Him. We are risen with Him. We've been adopted into this new heavenly family that has changed our whole perspective on how we look at how we live our life. So that means our new identity is defined by our life in Christ. If we're allowing the world to define us, then we're not following after our life in Christ. Our identity is defined by our life in Christ. So that means the decisions that we now make, the decisions that I now make in my life, must be made, choices must be made that glorify God and nothing else. We must glorify God. Not the temporary materialistic things of the world, but we must glorify God because we are united now in our relationship with God. We're focusing only upon Christ. I'm not going to say we must or we should. I'm going to say we are. We need to get that positive attitude in our mind that we're focusing on Christ. When we need something from our Father, we're not going to our earthly Father. We're going where? We're going to our Heavenly Father. So everything that we do revolves around our relationship with God. So that means every spiritual reality in our life must be prioritized the same way that Christ prioritized it when he was here upon this earth. He never done anything without first going to his Father and his God. So I would have to ask you today, do you have that relationship? Can you truly say, God is my God, but not only is he my God, he's my Father? My Father that I would do anything in this life for. None of you have a dad that you wouldn't do anything for. So why would it be any different with the one who gives us eternal life? Everything that we do shows others what salvation is truly all about. Shows others that my thoughts are his thoughts and his thoughts are my thoughts. So that people might see and understand what salvation is truly all about. We live a life here upon this earth striving towards living an eternal life with God. With God who is my God, with God who is my Father. And if you're here this morning and you're not living that life, if you're here this morning and things have cluttered that relationship, don't allow the world to interfere with your relationship with God. Because he is the only one that can take care of anything that comes up in our life. He is the one that we should be going to every moment of every day without excuse. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that you give us a time together to celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection. For without these things, Lord, we would not have a relationship with you. And we would just pray, Heavenly Father, that for those who have already accepted that, Lord, that relationship would grow stronger every day. Lord, that we would recognize you as our God and our Father, the one Heavenly Father that there could be no life without. And we would pray, Lord, for those who have yet to, by faith believing, accept your saving grace. Lord, that the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be upon each and every one. And Lord, that we might be able to show others the direction and the way to salvation. Lord, for we don't want to see anybody leave this world and be condemned to total darkness, separation from you. So we pray today, Lord, that you would help us to always allow our light to shine so that others may see your good works within each and every one of us. Lord, so that we might always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto thee. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we continue to lift one another up in prayer, that our earnest desire would always be to look to you as our Father and as our God, so that we might always follow after the leadership and the guidance that you provide unto us through your indwelling Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So this morning we're going to have communion. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. But before we do, I would like for you just to bow your heads for a moment. I'm going to read you this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians that talks about participating in what we see as the body and the blood of Christ. And one of the things that Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, let a man examine himself. And once he's examined himself, he said, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So this morning, that's what I would like for you to do. Ask God to show you the things that are in your heart. And we're going to take just a moment that if you want to come and pray and talk to the Lord, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, we pray that God would reveal that to you as you examine yourself. So that as we partake of the cup and the bread, we want you to feel the fulfillment of what knowing God is truly all about. So let's have a verse of song, and we're going to give you a moment. If you would like to come and pray, we want to invite you to an altar of prayer.
375.
Thank you.
Okay, if I could have a couple volunteers, please.
There's some sheets on the top, please.
There's some of that already have. There's
I guess you could ask them too and then come back after.
These first three rows that do not have one yet.
While they're passing out the cup and the bread, my scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 20. And it says, "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, that is, is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said." God shows us through this passage of Scripture that He always wants to have fellowship with us. And even though sometimes that fellowship might bring divine judgment, thank you. And this divine judgment comes through conviction. But there's always a chance of repentance. And we want to remember that as we go through our life in Christ. That God is a God of fellowship, and God is a God who grants repentance. So as we, I'm going to let them finish. As we partake of the bread and the cup, which signifies the body and the blood of Christ, I want you to remember that there is nothing in our life that can keep us from the love of God other than a choice that we make to do so. And that choice is up to us. So if you all stand this morning, and in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." And then he said, "I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come to you this morning. Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts for the many, many things that you do for us in our life, Heavenly Father. And we're thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice that was made. Lord, we're thankful for the sacrifices we must make in order to live a life that is pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we look to Thee, and Lord, as we always remember the crucifixion and the resurrection, that we always remember it to a new life with You. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as Your Holy Spirit touches the hearts and the lives of everyone here today, that we leave this place, Lord, with a fulfillment in our heart that only You can give. And that we would always be found doing those things, Lord, that is pleasing unto Thee. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help me, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
Does everybody have a paper?
I think they do.
Okay. I got one. Okay, we're gonna...
The Lord of sea and sky.
We do invite you all to stay for breakfast. And then after that, we'll be having Sunday school. Debbie, where's Debbie?
I'm there in the kitchen.
Did Debbie leave me?
In the kitchen.
Huh?
They went out.
Okay. Who's going to lead us in the doxology? Let's end today by praising the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.